every day. Makes me wanna holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for every radio. Listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I've got strategies, I got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
You know
radio.
We need them. Yeah, we do. We need those strategies, don't we? Those strategies for living. So are you ready? You're ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I'm ready.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm ready today.
Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC, Lauren Leon McMillan. You know, it's just everyday stuff. I mean, it's just everyday stuff. I don't get the problem.
You don't understand the problem.
I do not understand the problem. Well, it's just everyday stuff. It's stuff people do every day.
Yeah. And
what is the problem?
Well, and it may be stuff that your mom did and your grandma did. And
well, they did. And if it's
did.
Good enough for my grandmother and mother, it's good enough for me. That's all a mule can do.
And if that's the case, that's fine. But on the show, we're always talking about how important it is to look at those programs, to look at those beliefs, to look at... which include the behavioral patterns that we engage in.
So,
right?
In other words, what you're saying is there some things that are actually that we just do. Mm-hmm. We don't even think about it. They're kind of, you could call them societal norms, if you would. And
you know,
they're not in our, could we say they're just not into our best interest?
Well, yeah. And they're not even in our conscious awareness some of the time. But it's important to look at. Yeah, are they in our best interest?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an interesting time right now. I don't know if you're looking out at the world, kind of. At least I look out at the world.
I try to. Sometimes I look a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'll watch the, you know, one of the morning news shows, or I'll watch the evening news shows, and I want to go hide my eyes, but that's another story.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's an interesting reaction, right? Because I think that's what a lot... is happening out there. A lot of things are surfacing for us as a collective to look at. Mm. All of the stuff that's been going on, I promise, a lot of it's been going on.
Call it normal.
Well, yeah, and it's been on the unconscious level. And so we're seeing this happen collectively. And I think it's important that we do continue to do that work of recognizing, okay, this has been there the whole time, but is it really serving me?
Okay. That is what we're tackling today here on Strategies for Living. Folks, thank you for tuning in, and we appreciate our sponsors making it possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitas Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. Back in a moment. It's just normal stuff, but could it be hurting us? We'll talk about that today here on Strategies.
Tune in daily, find the light. Healthy mind and spirits bright. Strategies for living strong. Feel the vibe, it won't go wrong.
Welcome in to Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. You know, there's just a lot of stuff that we just do. We don't even, you know, really think about doing it. But how much of that stuff could actually be doing us harm.
A lot of it, right?
So one of the things that we're taught early, you know, you better stop that crying or I'm going to give you something to cry about.
Yeah. You don't have a reason to cry.
How many of us were taught some variation? I don't say we're, you know, that was exactly said to us, but some variation of that.
Suck it up, buttercup.
There's
no reason. Yeah.
So what does that teach us to do? It teaches us to suppress our emotions. You know, in fact, we're even taught to hide our emotions, especially the negative ones that lead to anxiety and depression and disconnection.
Yeah. And I think, okay, I'm going to be careful not to over, because, you know, if you give somebody a hammer, everything's a nail. And
right.
I am a psychotherapist. I'm aware of that bias. And I, you know, I'm aware that there's a bunch of other things going on in the world.
Right,
but I think a significant portion of what we're seeing today in the world of disease and mis, you know, not functioning, malfunctioning, is this: we're not able to feel ourselves.
We're not able to feel it. We're not aware of it, and we're not able to express it in some way. So it gets packed down, and it's got to have a way to come out. And the body is just a normal way to do that. And this could be something as simple as a headache or as complicated
as an autoimmune disease.
There you go.
Right.
Or worse.
Yeah. Or worse. Cancer. I mean, you name it. It builds.
Yeah. And you know, again, people may say, are you saying that I've got blank? Are you saying that I've caused it? That's a hard, you know.
Not intentionally. Not on the conscious level at all. No.
And, you know, we are wonderfully and, you know, mysteriously made.
Yes. Miraculously. As creators.
Made. Yeah. And so, you know, we need to do everything we can to understand as much as we possibly can about the way that we're put together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the more
a significant part of the way that we are put together is this experience that we call emotionality.
Right.
Which we have shoved for centuries into this category of vulnerability and weakness, when in reality, what I hope to see in this trending world is a shift towards seeing emotionality as truly our greatest strength as human beings.
Absolutely.
Because when we recognize that, when we begin to heal from this generations of, really at the heart of it, the suppressing emotion business, I believe at the heart of it is a fear. It's a fear that we can't or don't know what to do with these feelings, and that, you know, our brain misinterprets the feeling as something that could really kill us.
Right.
Because it does feel threatening in that situation. But it's our ability to rewire that and wrestle with it and say, this is just a feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm going to...
And that doesn't mean that feelings aren't unimportant.
No.
But sometimes...
Exactly the opposite.
We've got to balance out our feeling self, our thinking self, and our... physiological self.
Right.
We've got to try to balance those
and recognize
out.
How they're all very much intertwined.
And we're how they're
and
tied
they feed
together.
Each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's an old saying, if you can feel it, you can heal it.
Right.
But again, what we're talking about here is even beyond feeling it, because if you're not even aware of the possibility that, you know, that can be a real problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's a huge problem.
Yeah. So that's why we talk about it as often as we talk about this kind of thing. We talk about it in different ways.
Could you imagine a world where children are taught that, anger is okay to feel, and here's some healthy ways to manage that, to move that?
Oh, wouldn't that be neat?
Could you imagine a world where we start doing that and we start teaching our toddlers that, wow, this is a big feeling, right? And even I have these.
Right.
And let's learn together what this is trying to tell us, what the message is, and what can I do effectively with that
feeling. You know, you shared a quote this morning with someone from Robert Fulghum, who wrote,
yes,
"Everything I ever needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten."
Right.
And I don't know, when is the last time you looked at those? I mean,
it's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's simple, but it's one of those things that's so simple that it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we probably need to dust that one off and do a show on it again, because it's been a while. But I mean, it touches on what we're talking about right now,
which is that empathic resonance. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that we, I think, take for granted is how much we do.
Mm.
We do and we do and we do. Even when we're not working, we're still doing.
Right.
So you could call us and look at us as a culture, as an overworking culture.
Mm-hmm.
We glorify busyness.
Yes, we do.
We glorify doing. And we, you know, we tend to associate rest with being lazy. And they couldn't be anything
farther from the truth.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
because we need those moments of rest, I would argue, are actually more productive than the hours when you're actually working.
Yeah.
Because it's in those hours of rest when you actually allow your mind the space to grow and to reflect back on what you've learned in the doing.
Right.
I think that can become a huge issue if we get so caught up in the doing, the doing, the doing. We don't provide ourselves the space, because I truly believe it's in those spaces that we actually grow.
Well, you know, Einstein said his major insights.
Mm-hmm.
Came,
yes,
when he was doing nothing, mm-hmm, except just letting his mind flow and roam wherever it wanted to be. And I suppose if we looked in on Dr. Einstein, it would appear that he was napping or he was daydreaming,
right,
or something else. And yet, would we have some of the magnificent ideas and knowings from the incredible mind of Albert Einstein had he not intuitively known that he needed to rest?
Right. Yeah. Well, and so many of the great creative and innovative geniuses that we know took some form of this. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who had what he called the spoon nap.
Yeah.
Right. He would hold a spoon and, you know, let himself doze off. And when
the spoon
he relaxed
dropped,
enough
yeah.
that the spoon dropped, it would wake himself up. And it was in those, you know, kind of cathartic meditative
right
spaces that the greatest ideas drop in. And we've known this for centuries, right? I mean, we have to get ourselves out of the way in order to let divine come through.
One of the places in the gospel, it talks about, you know, as people were finding and tuning in, if you will,
mm-hmm,
to the message that Jesus was bringing.
Yes.
The natural thing is that especially for the crew,
mm-hmm,
you know, the main crew, the main folks, it got busier and busier and busier. And there's a place in the gospel where,
yes,
the disciples are all caught up in we got to do that. You know, look at all these people. We got to do this. We got to do this. We got to do this. And we got to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I'm paraphrasing now, we're not doing any of that.
Yeah.
We're going to the mountains.
Right.
You know, can you imagine how, you know, the look on their faces? What? Yeah, we're going to the mountains.
Yeah.
Because this is something that, again, Jesus knew, absolutely, he was totally in touch with, is he could not give. For him, that time of solitude, that time of prayer, that time of plugging in to what he called the Father, was the way that he was able then to give to all those people. And if he unplugged, if he didn't stay plugged in,
he didn't have anything to give.
Right. Yeah. And so, again, I think Jesus intuitively knew that and taught that. And again, are we, and you know, have we missed that?
Oh, big time. And I think we especially in, perhaps especially in the West, in our over-consumptive culture, we have to really stop and ask ourselves, okay, am I at my best? And when I'm not resting, and when I'm not resting, what am I falling prey to, right?
Yeah.
Like, what am I giving myself away to unconsciously? And where can I take my power back?
Yeah.
Taking your power back looks like rest. Isn't that wild? The most defiant thing you can do in society today is rest.
Yeah. And
there's nothing more important.
I mean, how is it put together? How are we put together to really work? I mean, where does our body and brain really heal?
Rest and digest.
Rest and digest. And if we don't get good sleep, we're not gonna heal properly, and we're not gonna be healthy.
Right.
We're talking about those things that we consider quote unquote normal, just normal everyday things. Could some of those things be harming us? We're considering that today here on Strategies for Living. More to come, more to consider. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back on Strategies. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center. .org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with Learning RX Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, Learning RX Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call Learning RX Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does Learning RX Shreveport.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you want to holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Oh, we got those strategies. Yes, we do. That's what we're doing here. Even as we rest, we're doing it.
Yes.
having fun on Strategies for Living Radio. Welcome back in, folks. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, talking about today and bringing to our conscious awareness, if you will, those things that maybe we call them just 100% normal.
We've done them since my great-grandma was alive, and by gosh darn it, it's okay.
And that's what we do.
It hadn't hurt
anybody. We label them okay when, you know, they may not be totally okay.
No.
And in fact, some of it to excess may be harming us, right? So that's what we're talking about today here on Strategies for Living. Hey, you know, when you're driving around and you hear part of a program and you maybe want to hear the rest of the program, you know,
right?
How do I do that?
We are now available on podcasts. Everywhere.
It's exciting. I mean, all the places that you...
Any platform that you get, like to stream your podcast.
Apple, Spotify, wherever it is.
We're there. We're lurking out there.
You'll find Strategies for Living. Yeah.
That's right. So, and if you prefer the video form, we're also on YouTube.
Yep.
And follow us on Facebook just to check out, you know, what we're doing. And
Strategies for Living with David McMillan, if you're a Facebook person.
Right.
So there's a lot of ways.
And Instagram. We're also on Instagram.
It's so neat since we've started this podcast thing. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of listeners in the United Kingdom now.
That's what the podcast.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
That's cool.
We've got some.
We've gone international.
We've got coast to coast. We've got listeners in San Diego, California. Mm-hmm. And we've got listeners in New York.
That's right.
So, I mean, hey, pretty good stuff.
I'd say.
Yeah. So, hey, spread the word. You know, if you are into podcasting or you know somebody that's into podcasting, please tell them about Strategies for Living.
Yes.
And we're talking about today here on Strategies, reminding ourselves of things that we just call normal everyday things that could actually be hurting us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them, I think, is I would call it over, you know, external success, if you will.
Mm. Yeah.
So
got to get it, got to have it,
gotta,
and I'll be happy when.
And I'm chasing the money. I'm chasing a career goal. I'm chasing status.
Mm.
You know, that's what I'm chasing.
The external.
But here's the question. Why do so many quote unquote successful people feel empty inside?
Because they are chasing externally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they haven't stopped to look at themselves, the vehicle through which they experience all of life through. Yeah.
Mm. So there's something called extrinsic motivation.
Right.
And if you're going to look at extrinsic motivation, you also have to look at intrinsic mm-hmm. motivation.
Yes.
Because those two are kind of, would it be fair to say that they're polar opposites of each other?
Yeah, it's a spectrum from intrinsic to extrinsic.
Yeah. So let's define both of those. I think we tend to get caught up mm-hmm. in the extrinsic motivation.
Absolutely. And I think maybe even more so in the day and age of social media, although I know we've always had some form of comparison available to us as humans, right?
Right.
But it's that idea that I have to do this for, I have to do this because of this outside of me.
I'll be happy when, fill in the blank. I'll be happy when.
I want to get this because so-and-so influencer says it's.
I'll be happy when I get this degree. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the degree is. I'll be happy when I get this Porsche.
When
I'll be happy when I get this house.
Yeah.
When in fact.
And what happens is you get the house, you get the Porsche, you get the job.
Yeah.
And where's the happiness?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's within you all along.
Yep.
Because wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's so important, you know.
But we so look for it on the outside of us.
We
and
do.
Again, I'm going to remind all of us of.
And I think it's human nature because we're sensory, right? And we see all of these others outside of us.
Right. And I'm going to remind, you know, I'm going to remind us again of something that Jesus taught in his day. And that is, you know, it's not up there. It's not over there. It's not out there. Mm-hmm. The kingdom that you're looking for, the kingdom you seek, which is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven.
It's within.
It's within you.
Yeah.
And so that is intrinsic. Mm-hmm. That's intrinsic motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if
I'm going to do this because I know it brings me joy.
Right.
I know it lights me up. And that's my biggest job in the world, is to be in my flow, in my happiness, in my joy, that I might share that with others.
Yeah.
I mean, we have it so backwards. I think we're so terrified of being quote unquote self-centered, right? When in actuality, oftentimes if we focus so much on others, that leaves us without.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so we can't. We can't go on.
Well, and again, if we truly understand who we are, which is, you could say this a lot of different ways, but I'm going to say we have a soul, we have a spirit, we're of God.
We're grand, powerful beings beyond our bodies.
We're creators in and of ourselves. And whether we choose to put that into a belief formula or not, it doesn't change what is. And so, again, if we understand that, then we understand, okay, well, I am a creator. What do creators need to be doing?
Creating. Not consuming.
Right.
Which I think is another kind of another side of this coin of our drive to get more, to do more, to be more, especially maybe even to consume more. And why does it feel so empty? I think part of, you know, I mentioned at the top of the program how we're becoming more aware of all the things that are going on at the unconscious level collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that, hopefully, that we start to begin to look at is, okay, how are the objects I'm getting, how are they being made? And at what cost to other people? At what cost to the planet? At what cost to me?
Yeah.
Right? And not just the immaterial objects, but our food. How is our food being made? Right? And how is it getting to me? And what is that doing to me?
Yeah.
My fellow man.
And the planet.
Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes the questions that we have to ask ourselves are uncomfortable. They make us shift a little bit.
So, you know, a part of me has to wonder if that on some level, if all of this overconsumption is not on an unconscious level making us unhappy. Because as Jesus told us, as you do unto others, as you do unto the least of me, you do unto me, right? Which was just an indicator of how we're all connected.
Right.
And so,
when I'm doing to the least of me, I'm also doing it to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing to other people, what I'm doing to the planet and to animals, I, on an unconscious level, feel the effects of that.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if on some level, part of our overconsumptiveness, overconsumption is, you know, and feeling empty is because we are really engaging in some sort of unconscious self-sabotage, right? On
good
a collective
question.
Level.
Very good question.
I think it's
question.
Worth examining.
So we may want to really kind of work on redefining what we call success.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? And, you know, what is success?
What is it? What,
you know,
is
what
it?
Does
is
that
it,
mean?
Is it dollar signs?
Yeah.
Is it the number of letters behind your name? Or maybe it's just the number of times I laughed in the day.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
are
how
the kindnesses
often
that I am able to do
what
to my
if,
fellow human beings or creatures that share the planet with me.
Here's a radical idea. What if success was the number of times I was able to forgive myself and others today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would entail that I've done something perhaps that might have hurt myself or others that require forgiveness.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So how often am I forgiving? Right? Maybe that's my success marker.
Yeah.
How am I impacting myself and others around me?
How much we use media, and when I'm talking about media, I'm not talking just about the radio station that we're on, or radio in general. I'm not talking just about TV. Those are part of it, right. But I'm talking about all the other
we have ways. So much available to us.
Yeah.
The
and
internet,
it's,
social media.
We are talking about consumption. You know, when you look at social media, when you look at entertainment, when you look at news, we are literally overloading our brains.
Big time.
And
you know what? This,
when you overload the brain, you're going to create anxiety for yourself.
Right. And it feeds forward into that suppression of emotions that we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us turn to what you might call doom scrolling, right? When you just scroll and scroll and scroll to lose yourself. you know, we engage in that behavior as a way to escape the feeling.
Algorithms are all around us. And if you don't believe it, Lauren and I went out to look for a couch. We're looking for a couch and a love seat for the living room, right?
Yes.
And we visited a local furniture store because, you know, you want to try to find something and
buy local if you can't support local.
But the thing is that before we were out of the store, I looked on my I happened to flip to the social media.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, if you don't think the algorithms are there and that they're listening, you know, try this.
Yeah.
Go buy a TV. Go shop for a TV. Go shop for a couch or a love seat.
Right.
Go shop for whatever and see how it all of a sudden
your ads start
show up on your Google ads or your social media ads. I mean, you know, it's the algorithms are there.
And so how can we make them work for us and not against us?
Well, and they're there to make sure that we are consuming and that we stay kind of quote unquote addicted, if you will.
Absolutely.
Things that we take for granted, just normal everyday things. How many of those things could be harming us, could be hurting us? We're considering that today here on Strategies for Living. We've got more to come. Stay right where you are. You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it, too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283 and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
Truth and every deal. we help you thrive, not just survive.
And welcome back in. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, talking about things today here on Strategies that we just consider normal. And yet,
what is normal and at what cost?
Yeah, what and some of these things that are, you know, that we just take for granted, we're not really conscious of. Mm-hmm. How many of these could be harming us, hurting us?
Yeah.
One of the things is, you know, how much financial insecurity do all of us get into?
Yep.
You know, why are the financial gurus, why are the good ones so popular, you know? Some of the most popular podcasts out there, you know?
Well, yeah, because, well, in most education systems, it's not built in.
We're not taught to manage money. We're not taught the basics of saving and investing.
You know what's wild is looking back just on my education, right?
Right.
I remember in fourth grade, I got to go stay after school for a special advanced math program because I was in, you know, I was in the top few students of the class.
Right.
Okay. And what they did in that course, part of what they did, was they taught us how to write checks.
Yeah.
Okay, but let me just pause there and think about how that was set up. The top kids, the kids who were already performing well, were the ones who were selected to stay after and learn something as basic as how to write a check and balance a checkbook.
Right.
Why? You know, looking back, why weren't we all taught in fourth grade how to write checks and balance checkbooks?
Yeah.
Why were we selected, you know, based on...
Great question.
Yeah.
Great question.
And I think that's important for us all to look at. And as we look at the society at large and the issues we're having with money and...
When you think about the psychological impact of financial stress, it's enormous.
Sure.
And again... How many of us endure financial stress month after month, year after year, even decade after decade? Mm-hmm. And like we said earlier, if you are not able to express and move this feeling out,
right,
then it's suppressed in. It's going to come out generally in something, probably in some kind of dis-ease within the body.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. We were talking about algorithms earlier in terms of social media and media algorithms. But I think it's important that we recognize that all of life exists in a sort of algorithmic way. Mm. And what I mean by that is even we as a people, as an individual, we have algorithms within us set up, right?
Absolutely.
And those are things that we call beliefs.
Yep.
Our beliefs set up the algorithm of our life,
right?
And one very important foundational in this world, because what is money, right? Because I think we've talked about this before on air, is if I placed a $5 bill and a $100 bill in front of somebody, we're all going to pick the $100 bill.
Right, but it's the paper is it, right. Take the same material. Ink, same paper. That $5 bill,
it's the same
cost as much to
value.
Produce as that $100
right.
bill, and yet we're all going for the $100. Why? Because we believe.
Right.
We all collectively believe that it's far more valuable.
And so what's wild but very true is that belief has huge algorithmic consequences in our lives. What our relationship is with money sets us up for how much we have and how we spend. It's our relationship with it, right? And so if from a young age, we were never taught how to manage it or what it is. And even worse, perhaps, if your parents were scared of money or didn't understand how to do it, you carry on that algorithm, right?
Right.
And so it's very hard to break out of that unless you recognize it and reprogram that within yourself. And this has nothing to do with actual going out in the business world. This is all that part is all internal.
Let's get another couple of these ideas in quick.
Okay.
And disconnect from nature is one that I'm thinking about.
One, yeah.
And I also want to talk about how superficial our social interactions have become. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be able to do these justice because we're running out of time. But we've talked a lot about our disconnect from overall from nature.
You know,
we evolved from nature.
Right.
And yet we spend, how much of our time do we spend indoors versus outdoors?
You know, not enough. Right? It's way, way out of balance. And something that...
And there's benefit in that outdoor time.
Yeah.
Massive benefit.
Something my guides have talked to me about that is a very interesting thing that I hadn't thought about is to mend that relationship, we have to put together the idea of ecology and economy.
Mm.
We have to bridge the gap there because even our money... The money that we use now comes from the planet.
Yeah.
Right? It
yeah.
comes from trees
of
and
course.
Plants.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
so to recognize that connection, even there, is an important part of our healing as humanity, I believe.
And then when we look at our social interactions and what digital communication has really gotten us, I mean, face-to-face interaction... has been replaced by the digital communication and digital interaction. And again, that is not necessarily all a terrible thing or a bad thing.
No, I think it's wonderful that now we can have friends all over the world.
But again, what we want is balance. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, are we out of balance? Mm-hmm. What's the difference between an online relationship or an online friendship and a deep personal connection? Well, I can tell you, one of the things is what it does inside of your body,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and the differences that happen face to face and person to person, as opposed to, you know, across a screen.
Right.
Absolutely. There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. I know we take it for granted, but, you know, it may be, you know, it may be harming us. We don't even know it. Talking about today, the things that we just take for granted that may be causing us a bit of problem. That's today here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back.
From the bayou to your table, we're keeping it alive with flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here with a twist in the tail. Alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Godfather sausage, bold and true. But Andre's bringing the bayou to you.
Get the Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us.
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Talking about the things that we just really not even conscious of that might be harming us. Our superficial social interactions, our disconnect from nature, our financial education or lack thereof, and insecurity, the mental health toll of media overconsumption, chasing money and career and status overfulfillment, the lack of rest and overworked culture that we've created, and shoving down our emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your takeaway from our time today?
Just to, as we all kind of rise in awareness in this time, as things come up, I think it's important to look at them with an open mind and with curiosity. Mm. Right. Because what we're quick to do, I think, when we look at these things is to blame someone or something else, or to say, well, this was malicious. And then we go down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories. And I'm not really in that business. And what I want us to do is just question, is this the way forward for us? And if not, what can we do differently?
We want to take responsibility.
Right.
Response. Ability.
We have the ability,
our ability
to respond.
Yeah. And so many times we so quickly give that away. Mm. When really that's the answer.
And a big way that we give it away is by consuming.
Yeah.
Right? And one takeaway I would say is to question, are you creating as much as you consume?
Yeah. No, good question.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Good question. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, folks.
We appreciate you being with us here on Strategies. And we appreciate our sponsors making Strategies for Living possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing.
Roof, roof.
And Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And for Tina's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator, Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? What would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.